we're looking at this idea of this is Jesus. There is a outline for those of you who might want to follow along. I try to give you some thoughts to hold on to that you can look through for the rest of the week. But here's what I want you to hear. We're going to take some notes really quickly in the beginning because I want to set things up for you, and then we'll really go into one story. But this whole idea that his story is meant to be our story, what we're really saying is his victory is meant to be your victory. Because when Jesus walked this earth, he faced the enemies and the situations and the challenges, the tragedies, and the injustice that you have faced. And yet, he rose above all of it, and he was triumphant, and he wants to give that to you. And so when we're talking about the idea of his story is meant to be your story, we're saying that no matter what you're going through, Jesus is not a nice idea or a teaching. He is actually present to lift you up above it and walk you through it. And just because you are facing a hardship does not mean that God is not with you, but that he is about to give you victory over it. So that's why we're talking about this. So here's the first thing I want you to hear. Here's the amazing love of Jesus. That the reason he gives us a victory, how this works is this. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he takes on our story of defeat so he can give us his story of victory. Can someone say amen to that? Like he goes where we go, and he struggles with if you read his story, he struggles with family the way you struggle with family as he was misunderstood in the midst of his own. His father, his earthly father, probably died by the time he was 20. He knew what it is to be the oldest of seven and figure out what are we going to do. He walked in our story. He was familiar with poverty. He was certainly familiar with injustice. He was certainly familiar with the times of literally homelessness as he was a refugee in the beginning of his life. He knows where we have walked. And yet he's walked through it in such a way to say, I know where you are, and now I want to give you the victory for it. So it's so important. This is the amazing love. Because this is what love does. Love takes our defeat and brings us the victory of the loved one. And so I think the best way to understand this is really this season of weddings we're in, okay? We were just in a great wedding yesterday, right? Right, family? Come on, where are you? That was a great wedding. Just Swanee and Kevin. And it was beautiful. It was such a wonderful wedding. And I don't know what your favorite wedding is right now. I've done Joshua and Heather's back there. That was an awesome wedding. I don't know what your favorite vows are and how the different people share their vows. But in the end, every person in the wedding, when they make a commitment, here's basically what they're saying. All I am, I give to you. And all I have, I share with you. I don't know what type of vows you've heard, but in the end, that's what you're saying. You're saying, all I am, I give to you, and all I have, I share with you. Now, that's pretty poetic and pretty romantic, but you and I know you don't say those words without it costing you a little something. Like, there is a pain that is associated, a sacrifice that is associated with that. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of explain why those words are beautiful, but they have some cost to it. I want to show you a picture of another wedding. But I want to warn you, you're about to receive a revelation. All right, are you ready for this? You ready? Are you sure you're ready? There you go. Pastor Shaw, what is that? 23 years ago. Full head of hair. Yes, I did, back in the day, have that hair. So here's the deal. 23 years ago, Jeff Smith sang at my wedding. Go Jeff, rock on. 23 years ago, Sarah and I said these words, all I am I give to you and all I have I share with you. But let me tell you the story of that couple right there. Because as most of you know, I grew up in poverty. So by the time I was in my second semester of my freshman year, I paid for my entire college, which meant I had school loans. So when I went to Sarah and said, "All I am, I give to you. And all I have, I'm sharing it with you." That's what I was giving her. Now, Sarah, on the other hand, she came from a really hardworking family that everything in the way their situation worked out, she actually could save. And so literally during our engagement, she bought a new car. Like, she bought a new Honda Civic, right? And so literally, when we said these words, what happened was she got all my debt and I got all her riches. I mean, that's how it worked out. This is literally what happened, okay? Because when you say those words, "All I am, I give to you, and all I have, I share with you," that includes all this stuff. And that's really, I mean, this is really what Jesus has come down to do for us. We've got all these debts. We got all these places things are not right. We got all these places where we don't have enough. And we come to Jesus, and think about it. If you've read the Gospels, I mean, isn't Jesus always talking about being the groom? Something about the bridegroom? And doesn't Revelations talk about when the bride and the groom are together at the marriage supper? I mean, isn't this one of the analogies Jesus is talking about all during his ministry? That he wants to give himself to us, and all that he has, he wants to give us, and he wants to share with us. But those words, when he's saying them, they're not without some pain. They cost him something. And when we talk about this idea of his story is meant to be our story, this is Jesus. Look at him in a fresh way. Stop just going through the routine and religiously being a zombie through services. No, think again about the Son of God. He came to take our debt and in exchange to give us his riches because he loved us so much. He didn't do it because it was profitable. He did it because he had a passion. He didn't do it because it was fair. He did it because we were far from him. And he just loved us so much, he says, "I'll take all your debt, and I'll give you all my riches to be with you." That's the story. And we can never forget that that's who we are, beloved by him. And really, the story that we're going to look at today, and we've already mentioned it 2 weeks ago, is the story of his water baptism. And I'm going to share with you today that in a certain way, it was Jesus, it was his proposal to us, that he wanted to give us, he wanted to take everything of our debt, and he wanted to give us all of his riches. And so you look right here on the front of your notes, you already flipped the page, but come on back there for a second, that just two verses. Here it is. Cassie said, let's look at it new. Let's look at it new. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, very important word coming up next, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." I want to share with you today that this was kind of like Jesus' proposal, like his "will you marry me" moment. This is the beginning of what I want to give you and what I want to become with you. And it's not just a nice religious idea. When we get to the end of this message, I'm going to tell you it should change the way you love everybody around you. It should change the way you live, and it should change the way you look at every storm you're facing in life. So I'll tell you what, let's stop and let's just remember when Jesus says, "I'll take all your debts," what those debts are. And we've kind of been doing it over these last 3 weeks. Week number one, and really each week we talked about a certain debt we have, a certain problem we have that Jesus has come to rescue us from. And week number one, we talked about this issue that we really are trapped in a broken world. Jesus comes to this world, and he comes to save it, but he doesn't quite fit in it. Everything he does is not exactly what we're expecting, and all our ideas of God, he's somewhat like them, but somewhat very different. And he comes into this world to save us, but at the same time, he's not just like us. And the reason he doesn't fit in this world is because he's saying this world's broken. And if you're going to fit in this world, I want you to think about this of every age. If you're going to fit in this world, to fit in this world means you're living a broken life. Because that's the only life this world knows. And it doesn't matter how many likes you've got on your social media page. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter your professional status. It doesn't matter how physically attractive you are. Life breaks here on earth. Bodies get old and people get sick and finances go up and down and there are expenses that we weren't expecting and relationships aren't always about how can I serve you and this world, every time it gets a problem, it creates five more problems trying to solve it. It's a broken world. And Jesus is saying, I don't fit in here because it's broken, but I've come into it because I'm inviting you out of it. I'm inviting you not to fit. Your goal in life is not to be so successful in this world that you just fit right into it. Pete, you should be a little bit like Jesus. I love you and I don't get you. I love you and yet you're challenging me. And this is the story. And we looked at how Jesus solves this by saying, why don't come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened by trying to make this life work that I'm telling you. No matter what the world says, it does not work this. It doesn't work. Come to me and I'll show you a different way. So next week, we talked about the death of not just being trapped and feeling stuck in life, but the idea of being lost. That Jesus uses this term and what does it mean? And Jesus says, you know, one, we're trapped in a broken world, but two, we're lost in our sinful nature. Because here's the deal. Jesus invites us to say, don't fit in this world. But then he says, but by the way, you don't fit in my world either. Because you're selfish. And do I really need to have a Bible lesson on this first statement that we can't say no to ourselves? Do I need to really break that one down? Or do we just all know that? Right? It's just like, I can't say no to me. Even when I know what's right, know what's wrong, I can't say no to me. Because in the end, I have this sinful nature. I have this selfishness in me. And I just, in the end, I will hurt you to help me. It's how it goes in my life. And I want to do what's right, but I can't do what's right. And here Jesus is inviting me into this life. But here's the deal. Everything in me fights against it. We talked about eternal life last week. And the idea that God is inviting us into this unstoppable life. And every one of us say, sign me up. I would like that life. We all want the results of eternal life. But none of us can handle the reality of eternal life. We can't handle it because we got to be selfless. And we don't know how to do this. So what does Jesus do? Jesus invites us to die to ourselves and follow him. He says, look, I can't get your selfishness and you. I can't separate you guys. It's just going to all have to die. And then I'm just going to raise you up to a new life. And that's what he says. And here we go to today where I think really is the worst debt of all that we can't pay, we don't have enough to handle, and it's this, that we are alone in our hearts. We might be trapped in a broken world, and we might be lost in our sinful nature, but what's worst of all is we're alone in our hearts. We're not alone on social media. We're not alone at work. We're not alone at the party. We're not alone at the team. But we're alone in our hearts. Because here's the deal. A broken world makes every relationship, and I want you to hear this, every family, in the end, it looks like that when you follow the world. In the end, that's what happens to every relationship that when you try to do it the world's way. It gets crucified. And Jesus knows it. That's why he's got to go take it for us. And my selfish nature, if I can't say no to myself, the addictions in my own life make my life look like that. Like, that's why Jesus is there. Because that's the result of a life that follows a broken world or a sinful heart. And so Jesus invites us into something different, because this broken world is never encouraging me to know true togetherness, and my sinful nature is always pulling me away from somebody else. And I want you to think about the model of what we see in the world right now. Most of the world teaches that a romantic relationship is you complete me. And it's the old idea of it's like what I want, especially physically, right? And so most couples come together out of selfishness. Now, it's great in the beginning because we're both helping each other be selfish, and it works. But at some point, guess what happens? You aren't God, and you will not have everything I need. And if I'm with you because I'm selfish, then I'm going to leave you because I'm selfish. I came to you because I was getting what I want, and I'm going to leave you because I'm not getting what I want. And so Jesus is saying, look, the selfish, sinful nature, it's always pulling you away from people. It's not what you want, it's what I want, so I'm going. And this is the story of who we are and where we are. So as we do this, I love this story about Jesus' baptism, because I want to suggest to you that Jesus is so different from what you know, and you almost can't relate to this story the right way. So me too. Okay, this is what I want to suggest. Because here a bunch of people are going to baptism. They're going to kind of start again. They need something new, and Jesus comes and identifies with them. And when he comes and identifies, this is what we hear. Heaven was opened up, and that's really important. In other words, the curtains pulled away for a second. Like, hey, take a look at what Jesus is experiencing all the time. And what do we see? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When heaven opens up, when we get to see a little bit of what's really going on in heaven, how life could be, what do we see? We see that Jesus is never just Jesus. What did you think about it? Jesus is never just Jesus. The Father is always with him. The Spirit is always with him. You are never just talking to Jesus. You are never just getting encountered by Jesus. Doesn't he do this all through the Gospel of John? Jesus saying, I and the Father are one. To hear from me is to hear from the Father. To see me is the Father. Isn't he always talking about this? What Jesus is saying is, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. I mean, he says it in John 17:16. He says, Father's always with me. Always with me. Now, I want you to think about the contrast of what's going on in this moment. A bunch of people are going to the Jordan River who feel alone. Jesus comes and identifies with them and says, I'm happy to join you, but here's what I want to give you. I want you to see that what we see in the gospel is that the Father always loves the Son in the joy of the Spirit. The Father always loves the Son. What kind of language are we using right now? We're using family language. The Father always loves the Son in the joy of the Spirit. Always. And heaven opens up for a moment and says, this is the life I want to give to all of you. So, everybody's brain's hurting right now. You're processing with me? Okay, we're thinking. All right, here's the deal. It's very significant that it's the Jordan River. It's not John the Baptist isn't just baptized in any place. He's at the Jordan. Why is that important? Because the Jordan is where? It's the border of God's land versus every place else. Every good Jew knows that God's home, God's land, where God's dwell, where the temple is, that's on this side of the Jordan. And every place where God is not, wherever he is, that's the other side. Every Jew knows that our people long ago wanted to be where God was and live in his promises. So what did we do? We crossed the what? The Jordan. So John the Baptist says, let's all go back to where we started. Now, if you were a kid, did you ever like walk into a room and not say hi to somebody or have a bad attitude and your parents say, go back out and come back in and try that again? Anybody ever do that? All right? That's what this is. John's saying, let's go back to how we came in and let's go back in and try it again. That's what he's saying in water baptism. So you and I, and Paul actually develops the whole idea of up and down, but John the Baptist was out and in. Let's go back to the start and let's do this again. That's what he's saying. That's what John the Baptist was inviting people to. And here's who he was inviting to it. People who felt far from God. Now they're in Israel. They're in the home. They're in God's homeland, but they don't feel close to him. And so he's inviting them, let's go back to the start. Let's go back to how you get into the promised land. Let's re-enter in a new relationship with God. There are people who are just feeling filthy on the inside. I mean, repentance is about, I've got these mistakes and I can't get away from them. I had a friend the other day who's really lamenting some really bad choices and what it's done to his family. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes and said, if I could take my life and put it in a washing machine, clean it up, and start again, I would do it in a heartbeat. That's how these people are feeling. It's like, I'm filthy, I can't get clean. But they're also kind of feeling fruitless. It's like, this life isn't working. What's the point? Why am I doing this? Who? You know, it's just nothing's coming together for them. And John invites them to the beginning. He invites them to start again, step out, let's walk back in a new way. Because if you are feeling lost, or if you feel trapped by your mistakes, or if you're feeling alone and like nothing's working, I've got a new beginning for you. Now, Jesus comes to the Jordan. He comes to where John the Baptist is, and he chooses to be baptized. He's not lost. He's not trapped, and he's not alone. Why is he doing it? Because what he's doing is saying this. All I am, I give to you, and all I have, I'm willing to share with you. That's what he's doing in that moment. But when he does that, when he says, I'll identify with your story, I'll walk through that thing of saying, I'm lost, I'm trapped, I'm alone. But when I come out of that water, here's what I want to give you. I want to give you this new family. I want to give you a relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit that you're never, ever alone. Heaven opens up and shows us another way we can live. He's proposing, he's saying, I'll take it, and this is what you'll have. And the beautiful thing is this. In his water baptism, Jesus identifies with our failures so he can give us his family. Jesus identifies with our failures so he can give us his family. He's saying, all I am, I give to you. All I have, I share with you. And he wants to share that family relationship. Now, the Trinity is this big concept, and there are lots of different things to say about it, but it's a good way to think about at least part of who the Trinity is. It's this idea that there's this relationship so unbroken, so together, that you can't tell them apart. Father, Son, who, what, one, three, what's the deal? They're just that tight. They're three persons and one. It's this family with nothing broken in it. And we who are trapped and lost and alone, Jesus is saying, why don't you come on in? I got something new for you. So, listen to what Jesus says after his water baptism, as he's working through, teaching, sharing, inviting people to know him. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to do what? Prepare your home. You're coming home. But we also heard last week that eternal life is not just about heaven. Same chapter, John chapter 14, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our what? Home with him. You got the best RV in the world right here. You are mobile, okay? And the Father's with you. And the Son is with you, and the Holy Spirit's with you. What did he say? Here he goes, same chapter, John 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. He will be in you. What does Jesus next say? I will not leave you as what? Alone, as orphans. I will come to you. Next week, we're going to talk about how our relationship with the Holy Spirit should be the same as Jesus' relationship with the Holy Spirit. The whole idea that never alone, never alone. The Father loves me, the Son saves me, and the Spirit's always with me. Always. I'm never alone. The Father loves me, the Son saves me, the Spirit's always with me. You know, I'm chewing on this sermon, and I'm literally walking to my garage to fix something. I'm like, am I thinking like I'm not alone right now? Because I'm not alone right now. When I go to work, am I thinking like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are with me? Now, somebody's like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Like, God, sometimes I'm not doing it. It's like, no, no, no. Am I counting on what the Son has done to be the very reason why the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always with me? So here's what I want to offer you. That on the cross, Jesus finished being trapped by the world. Nailed to a cross. He was trapped. You know, we got some of our special needs families here, so that's why you hear some laughter. We know that on the cross, everybody had betrayed him, and nobody's with him, and earth rejected him, and heaven was punishing him. He was lost on the cross. On the cross, he said, my God, why have you what? Forsaken me. He was what? Alone. Do you realize that on the cross, Jesus finished your story? Finished it. I know what it is to be trapped. I know what it is to be lost. I know it is to be alone. And I'm not trying to be too graphic here. He's naked. He's shredded. He's suffocating on his own fluids. And the last thing he says is, victory. I just want you to think about that for a moment. Finished. The job is finished. Game over. Won. Triumph. Mission accomplished. What person in that circumstance says that? He does. Because what is he saying? It's done. You're in the family. You don't got to earn it. You don't got to somehow figure out. It's done. I've done it for you. I lived out your story. I finished your story. Now start living out mine. That's what he's saying on the cross. So look what he says in John 20. The first day he's resurrected, Mary Magdalene in the garden, and listen to what he says to Mary Magdalene. Do not hold me, don to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Now hear what he says next. Listen to all the family language. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to who? My Father. And whose Father? Your Father. Done. Finished. You're in. You're not submitting an application. You're not in an interview. You're not trying to earn it. You're not on probation. You're in. That's it. You don't have to live your life thinking about how I get untrapped. You don't have to think about your life like, how do I find myself? He's already found you. He knows where you are. You don't have to worry about this idea of how am I not alone? He's with you. What do I need to do to not be alone? Nothing. He's with you. He's already with you. You don't have to do anything. And so here's the thought. Here's the thought behind it. As he says, look, I'm always with you. Now, I want you to pay attention to this verse. Jesus says this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Listen to this next line, okay? In this world you will have storms come. Things get dark sometimes. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And if I've overcome it, it's not just me who's with you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are with you. I've overcome it. So here's the question I think all of us, I don't think this is Pastor Sean asking it. I think this is God the Father asking it. And it's this. How would you do it differently if you were never trapped, lost, or alone again? How would you do it differently if every debt you had was paid? Because guess what? It is. All I am is yours. All I have, I share with you. How would you change? How would you love differently? How would you live differently? And how would you look at the storms of your life differently? Because what you do not, here's the question you don't need to ask. What do I need to do differently so I'm not trapped? Don't need to ask it. You're free in Him. Well, wait a minute. Maybe, I can't seem to find myself. What do I need to do to find myself? Don't need to ask it. He's already found you. You know, what do I need to do? What should I change so that I don't feel alone again? You don't need to do anything. He's already with you. What you need to ask is, now that I am not trapped, I am not lost, I am not alone, what should I do differently with the way I'm loving everybody around me? Because I'm getting loved pretty good. How should I change the way I live because I don't have any debts? How am I going to look at, and here's the one we're going to finish with. I'm in a storm right now. Am I looking at it the right way? Am I looking at it like I got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with me, and every debt is paid? Because I'm telling you what, God wants to speak to some of us here, say, don't look at it the way you're looking at it. It's not the truth. So just think about this. How would you love differently if you were never trapped, never lost, never alone again? If every debt was paid, how would you love? Well, I tell you what, all I know is this. In my life, when I get in survival mode, I don't love anybody well. When I'm living in survival mode, when I'm like worried about, when I'm thinking about me all the time, what happens? I don't love anybody else very well. All right? And all I know is that, you know, and again, like in my family, poverty was this major, major survival mode, like a literal physical, financial one. It was hard to love people well when you're feeling that kind of stress. But what if all these years later, I mean, who knew I had a woman coming into my life who already had a brand new Civic? I mean, that was awesome, right? Like, God's like, chill out. I was driving like an 81 Ford Crown Victoria that weighed like 7,000 tons. It's like, I got it. Why are you stressing out, Sean? Like, it's paid. I got you. Here's all I can say. I love my wife. That's one thing I want to say. But, two, we got to stop looking at life in survival mode because we're not loving anybody around us well. Like, He's got it. God's not saying don't deal with what you're dealing with. He's just saying, trust me. I've got you. The debts are paid. You'll see. And I tell you what, it's not sometimes crisis. Sometimes it's just busyness, right? My daughter, Melody, is a senior in high school. And I'm flying, you know, I got weddings on the weekends right now. I did a funeral, a wedding, a few other things this past week. Did some traveling. And I literally, yesterday in the morning, I sat down and I wrote her a note. I said, hey, man, where are you? We're already a month into your senior year. And I just want you to know, I don't want to miss any of this. Like, you're way more important than anything else I'm doing right now. And I know I've been busy. And she's real busy, too. But I just want you to know I love you. Because when I get in survival, stress, me mode, I don't love anybody else well. But when the answers are there, man, how are you doing? Can I do something for you? Man, we are loved with a love that has plenty to spare. So how would you live? I'll tell you what, I think I know how all of us would live if we knew all our debts would pay. We'd be a lot more generous. That's what we'd be. We'd just be way more generous. We'd give a ton more. Why? Because it's all paid. I mean, we'd be like kids with endless allowance, which is what you are in the heavenly realms. Like, there's no limit to the allowance you're getting. All right? It's the Message version of Romans 8:32 that says, if God did not spare His own Son for you but gave Him up for us all, how much along with His Son will He not give you all that you need? Yeah, endless allowance. That's what you got. And, you know, you would just be more generous because you'd be like, I'm taken care of. Can I help take care of you? Yesterday, my daughter Kate and I would go down to Ironbridge Park to be on the sand volleyball court because she's learning volleyball. And we're hanging out there. And as we're hanging out, these four boys, about 12, we find out later, 12 to 14, come, and they're throwing the football around, and they're near. And I notice there's an adult with them. And it hits me. These are probably kids from a group home nearby. And one of the kids is off a little bit and playing by himself. And I walk over to him and say, "Hey, man, you want to use my basketball shoe?" "Yeah, man, you know, he shoots a little bit." Well, he comes, he brings it back, just polite kid. Brings back the ball. And as he brings back the ball, the other four kids go, "Can we play with you?" Right? These 12, 14-year-old boys. So I look at Kate, I'm like, "Yeah." So we start playing volleyball together. We're playing volleyball and everything. And I'm like, you know, we're starting to talk to them. We're learning their names. And the one kid behind me who asks, really, you know, "Sir, can we play with you?" You know, kind of like really polite, says to me, I said, "Man, so what you guys doing here?" He's like, "Oh, we're just hanging out today." I said, "Yeah." And he says, "It's my birthday today." "Oh, it's your birthday today." I said, "How cool." I said, "How old are you today?" He's like, "I'm 14. I'm like, "Wow, man." I said, "You going to get cake later?" He's like, "Yeah." He said, "I really like some ice cream, but cake's cool." I'm like, "Good." So we're talking a little bit, and we're playing, and I end up, the kids are playing, I end up go walk over to the guy, the worker. I said, "Hey, man," I said, "where are you guys from?" And he tells me and stuff. He tells me a little story of this kid. I mean, obviously nothing confidential, but just. And I said, "Hey, is it though?" And now, so here's the guy. I said, "Is it okay if I give him a gift for his birthday? Is that going to cause a problem when he gets back to the home?" He's like, no, I'll be fine. So we're back over to the home. We're back over playing, and we're wrapping up. And the kids are just super nice for talking. And I said, "So, Daniel, it's your birthday, right?" I said, "I heard tomorrow your family's going to see you visitation anymore." He's like, "Yeah, I'm really excited about it." He said, "They're bringing me Chinese food." I'm like, "Cool." I'm like, "Good." I said, "Well, I don't have Chinese food." I said, "You played volleyball pretty well. Did you like it?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Here you go, man." And we just bought this volleyball. I said, "Here you go. Happy birthday." He's like, "No way." I'm like, "Yeah, man, happy birthday." I said, "God wanted us just to make sure we got to wish you happy birthday." He's like, "Thanks." The kid next to him says, "God bless you." Like, he's 12 years old. "God bless you." I'm like, "Well, God bless you too." Really sweet. But so we're driving back, and Kate's like she talks about it all the way back to my 10th grader. And she's just like, "Wow." She's like, "You think maybe we could like go visit them again or something?" I'm like, "Absolutely. I got the number of the place, so I'm going to call them tomorrow." And all of a sudden, it was like, I want you to think about this. Instead of thinking about all the things we didn't have and all the things that, you know, aren't right, it was like, wow, we've got what? So much to give. And all of a sudden, in the light of what they were doing, our debts weren't all that important. Well, look, I can't make your life neat and clean, but I'm telling you what, you've got way more to give. You know, and whether it's a family, whether it's to the Lord, I told First Service, I said, tithing is like you going up to your mom and asking for money so you can buy her a Mother's Day gift. That's tithing, all right? It's all this anyway. I mean, all you're doing is saying, "I think you're really neat, all right? Here, I drew this, put it on your fridge." Like, all you're doing, he doesn't need it. It's just you giving back and saying, "I love you." Like, we'd live a lot more generous if we remembered that all our debts were paid. We would start looking at each other and saying, "I think we've got a lot to give." And then here's the last one. How would you look at this life differently if you were never trapped, lost, or alone again? If every debt was paid. Now, this is so important, okay? Jesus said, in this world, storms are going to come. Storms are going to come. He said, some rain's going to fall. Look at that. He said, it's going to get a little dark. Sometimes the night's just going to kind of come. But he said, but take heart. Don't be afraid. For why? I've overcome it. When the rain comes and the night shows up in your life, you see, you're never alone. The Father's covering you, the Holy Spirit's with you, and by the way, Jesus is the light of the world. And when the rain gets a little heavier, and when it's hard, if you don't know that you're not alone, if you don't know that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are with you, you go through that storm way differently. Way differently. Because when you don't know that the Father is covering you, and I mean, the Holy Spirit's not like this. The Holy Spirit's like this, walking with you. And when you're like, I can't see, I feel like this is the end of me. I feel like this storm, this darkness is never going to end. I can't see the light on the side. And Jesus says, here you go. I'm telling you, you walk through storms differently. And I know I look incredibly stupid right now. But I just felt like the Lord said, someone needs to see this today. Someone needs to know they're covered. Someone needs to know there's someone walking with them, and there's a light to show them how to get through the darkness. I don't know. Do I have any more umbrellas here with me today? Oh, yeah. There they are. Thank you. There we go. Nice. Some of our deacons are eligible. Would you guys just stand with your umbrella? Keep the umbrella up if you would. Keep. Wendy, how did you know to bring an umbrella today? That's awesome. All right. So here's the picture God gave me. God gave me a picture of some of us who needed to hear this, getting to step under an umbrella today. Just like, you know what? I love God, but I'm in a storm, and I just need to remember today that someone's covering me, and someone's with me, and someone's going to light the way. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this is Jesus. This is what he came to give you. You're not alone. Never. He's willing to take all your story and say, I'll give you mine. But I'm telling you what, we've got to say yes. And so here's what I'm going to invite us to do in a moment. If my umbrella people, which Wendy, you obviously were sovereignly chosen by God to be part of this. So come on out. If you guys want to step to a spot that as people stand up, they won't run into your umbrella. Ajay, you're probably pretty good right where you are. Here's what I want to encourage you. We're going to sing that song, Do It Again, right? I know the night won't last. Some of us need a little work on the Father's love in our life, so there we go. Just straighten it all up. This is the sermon. Straighten it all up for you. Wendy, why don't you come on over here? I want us to sing this song as a family. We're not a crowd today. We've all got one Father. We're all saved by the Son. We all have the joy of the Holy Spirit with us. And as we sing this song, we're going to stand and sing. And I just feel like there's some of us here today would it just be good for you to walk to one of these umbrellas and just say, hey, would you just pray for me in the storm I'm at? Pray that I'm covered well. And that was beautiful what God did at first service. God just kind of speaking to some hearts. So I've never worshipped with an umbrella inside before, but I'm going to. All of these are going to too. Goldman's wants to move around over a little bit. So would you stand right now? Pray with me. Lord, you've got a covering for every person here. No one in this room has to be alone. Lord, you want to be close to us, so close that we can walk under that covering of your love and not feel the storm, not be damaged by it, not be hurt by it. So, Lord, as we declare that you'll do it again, that you'll be faithful, that you'll get us through the storm we're in, and not just for us, but there's some family members who have a storm. And, Lord, we don't know how to walk with them, and it just feels like we're just getting rained on. But Lord, today, we're asking you to do it again in our lives. Would you just take a fresh moment to welcome him back in? And I want to encourage you some today, step out, step under the love of God in a fresh way today. And let him show you, let him speak to you. Let's just worship. The umbrellas are open.